Welcome back. My next guest is Nestor J. Aparicio. Nestor, welcome in.
Dennis, how are you? Happy opening day. Is the bunting out at Coons Baltimore Ford?
Man, we're still talking Ravens and Lamar Jackson. I think the opening day has even been overshadowed by the NFL and the Baltimore Ravens and Lamar Jackson in particular.
Well, you know, I program the radio station, right? So I can look at it, know when things are going on. And it's been a lot of Lamar, and I'm doing the Crab Cake Tour next week, and I'll sort of, you know, veer back into pop culture and music. I have a couple of musicians booked on. I've had some great media guests this week. Bonnie Bernstein came on. I had Jeff Smolian on. Jeff Smolian is the founder of WFAN in New York. He went on to own the Seattle Mariners. He wrote a book. He came on talking about it. So, I mean, a little bit of baseball, but even on Thursday, and your show is on Thursday and Sunday morning, like opening day, I'm like, morning drive. Do I do baseball? What baseball do I do? Is that where people are? And I'll just say this, Dennis, now that my head's clear. And as Steve Bisciotti once said, once I regain my equilibrium, you know, I didn't go to the owners' meetings this week. It's the first time in 18 years, other than my wife having cancer and a plague, that would keep me away from the owners' meetings. It's important to me. It's where I learn things and gain relationships, and it's an important part of what I do. But Bisciotti was AWOL. A lot of owners were heard from this week, right? I mean, Jerry Jones was heard from, Jim Irsay was heard from, Mr. Blank was – Mr. Irsay, Mr. Blank, sure. Mr. Snyder, like they've all been heard from this week that want to be heard from. And those who seek to hide behind their general manager, behind their team president, Sashi Brown was even heard from this week for the first time in a year and a half. He's been running the team. I would just say this, Dennis, where's Steve Bisciotti? Is that a fair question, or is this am I out of line asking that question?
He's a multi-billionaire. He can be whatever he wants to be. He's got a successful franchise. He's making money hand over fist. Whether you and I attend football games, whether you and I watch football games, whether you and I are there to purchase beverages and food and jerseys and whatnot. So I don't know that Steve Bisciotti really gives much thought to what you and I think, or anybody else for that matter.
Well, and I know
I'm
that
not picking on him. I think he's just like the other 31 guys. I mean, it's the best club in the world. You and I have talked about that. Being an NFL owner, I mean, that is like heaven on earth.
Well, because you're making $200 million for breathing, even if your name's Mike Brown, even if your name's Mark Davis, even if your name's Jed York.
If you're making money, if you can make money.
Steve Spanos, Alex Spanos, right?
If you can be on a golf course or on your boat and you're making money, you're winning. Because somebody else is making money for you. You're not working. You're just making money.
This is the problem. Who's running the place? And this is where I'm going to, based on how I've been treated in a personal, but also I'm a media member. Like, I'm there to report truth. The Harbaugh press conference the other day was just a complete lack of acknowledgement of truth, right? Like, this thing went on and there was no acknowledgement that Lamar had tweeted, that he had spoken, that it's from him, that he demanded a trade, like, ha ha ha, you know, sort of smile F you, you know, a little bit. And it's over with. And now they're going to have a liar's luncheon and a draft. Nobody's getting, but at the end of the day, and Dennis, you're on Twitter. I'm on Twitter, right? I mean, John Harbaugh's not on Twitter. He said so the other day, so we know that's true.
He's a lurker, not a participant, apparently. He lurks, though. He knows what's going on.
I have screenshots in my phone of tweets that he has sent me and commented
about.
He's
very familiar with Twitter.
So it's a good thing that I'm not sitting next to him and his employee, right? Cliff Brown, to call a timeout, you know?
Yeah, but it's one of those things. It's one of those things that, you know, it's a sleight of hand move to say I'm not on Twitter. Just because you're not on Twitter doesn't mean you're not on Twitter. You're aware. You have a general awareness or a specific awareness. You may not be on Twitter, but your staff is. People are saying,
1 million people were told 5 minutes ago something about you and your organization. Do you want to acknowledge it or do you not? And
I thought he did a good job, though. I thought under the circumstances, under duress, I thought he was able to deflect very nicely.
And I think he's paid professionally $12 million a year to front the organization. I just think for that moment, it would have benefited them. And a Kevin Byrne or grown up in there come over and said, fellas, give me 1 second with the coach here. You all are out on Twitter. I just want John to have a moment to see this, to react to it, because he hasn't. It's not fair to John. I'm going to get my coach. I'll be back in 5 minutes. He'll spend the full 30 minutes. We'll spend 40 minutes with you. Just give me a minute. John, come back here. John, this is what Lamar is doing in real time. Just so you know, he's commenting as you're commenting. He's watching this. And he, you know, like literally, that's what Kevin Burns' job is, right? And then send John back out there 5 minutes later and say, okay, I read what he said. Look, Lamar has said he wants to be traded. We love Lamar. It's not my spirit. Whatever it is for him to say at that moment, he can do the old movie thing and go, let's start with Lamar did this. Let's react to that. Not, oh, really? I'm not on there. Oh, what did he say? Oh, really? Oh, I don't know anything about that. I mean, like,
he has been in Lamar's corner since day one. I mean, if it wasn't for Lamar, his performance, John Harbaugh would have probably been out of a job back when in Lamar's rookie year. So he's always been a Lamar advocate, at least publicly. And you know John well enough. John's not going to say anything that's going to rub anybody the wrong way if he can help it.
I just think somebody needs to speak for the organization. And at the end of the day, this isn't an attack on Bisciotti for me. This is an acknowledgement that other owners spoke to their fans this week. Other owners speak to their fans sometimes. Other owners don't excommunicate media members for wanting to speak to the owner and retaliate and throw them out. And other owners show up at the owners' meetings. And in this circumstance, you're on Twitter and I'm on Twitter. We're all on Twitter. Dion's got an opinion, right? Marlon Humphrey has an opinion. Dennis Colazzo's me. Jason Lockenfor. Everybody's got an opinion. The only one that matters is Steve Bisciotti. I mean, and he's the only one we haven't heard from, right? And nobody's asked for him. And it's like, oh, he's the owner. He doesn't have to speak. I mean, you've said as much. Like, you've lowered the bar for what you expect from him and the organization. And I think that that's a shame. I think that that's how we've got into this thing where opening day's happening and nobody's paying attention, because we've lowered the bar for all of it, right? I mean, we've just lowered the bar. Like, Steve used to do this honestly, stand up accountably, and we would all say, oh, he's in. He's all in. He wants to win as bad as we do. We can see he takes the fan mail hard. We can see that he burrs up about this. We can see he's engaged in this. He has a very, very strong grasp. I learned lots and lots of stuff every time I was in Steve Bisciotti's presence.
But the last time he spoke, Nestor, I believe it was the last time he spoke, he said that that Deshaun Watson shouldn't have been the first player to get a guaranteed contract in NFL history. He chastised the Browns ownership for giving such a contract, and he was painted as a bad guy by the NFL Players Association. So
whatever.
Last time he spoke, he got hammered.
You always get hammered.
He doesn't have to speak. He's the owner. His silence speaks volumes to me.
So, but that's my point. My point is there will be thunderclap, right? There will be thunder and there will be lightning, right? I mean, right? Like, there'll be thunder, there'll be lightning, and there'll be a strike. And whatever that strike is, I just can't imagine. And you know, Bill Cole brought this up. I want to give my partner, if I had his coffee cup here, I'd hold it up. He said to me, you think John's happy?
He doesn't have to be happy. Like you said, he's making $12 million a year. I can be very happy making 12, because you know what? When he goes home at night, guess what? He doesn't bring that stuff home with him. He's going to spend time with his family.
Okay, but play this out. Lamar's either very disgruntled and they have a half-assed team the next 5 months, which I know John hates. Like, my quarterback's not going to be at practice for 4 months and we're going to run a team? A new offensive coordinator? Like, new wide receivers?
It's part of the challenge. It's part of the deal. He could only coach who's there. You know, John doesn't get to pick his deck of cards, right?
I'm just getting to say that John could have any job he wants in the NFL. Does John want to be a part of 3-14 and rebuilding at some point with Tyler Huntley really being the quarterback and or this really gross version of the next 5 months of fighting with a $32 million mercurial quarterback who might or might not, we'll never know. He doesn't have an agent. He's not surrounded by people who are grown-ups to even give him advice. It's a wild card. Like the entire season after 2 years of not having his quarterback available in January, how long does John want this gig before he says, I'll go grab Spags and we'll go do something else, whether you like that?
You know John better than I do, much better than I do. I think the day he wakes up and doesn't feel like going to the office is going to be his last day, at least with the Baltimore Ravens. And I haven't seen anything in him to indicate that.
I
I
don't
also,
either.
yeah,
I
and
don't
also,
either, but I'm wondering how the organization is going to live with a bad season this year. Because if Lamar Jackson's not their quarterback, it's real hard to sell to anybody that they're going to have a plus season, a plus season.
maybe said the farmer, Nestor. I can't believe in September 1st that Tyler Huntley is going to be the starting quarterback for the Baltimore Ravens. Keep in mind that the team's picking, they're going to pick four, perhaps five quarterbacks in the top 10 this year. They're going to be backup quarterbacks, starting caliber backup quarterbacks available. I do think that this roster is far from being complete, particularly at the quarterback position. And I do have faith and confidence in the organization. They'll have a decent quarterback, a serviceable quarterback to start the season with. With Todd Monken's influence, offensive coordinator, you never know what's going to happen with the offense. They can run the ball. They got one spot to shore up on the offensive line. They got a really good defense, special teams. They're well coached. They're going to be right in the thick of things.
I'm going to be all afternoon, and as people are listening to this, I'm going to be at Hollywood Casino at the Barstool, a sports book. And I'm not a sports gambler. People know that. I played a lot of blackjack, played a lot of craps in my day. Been to Vegas a million times. Like all of that, I like the action. But I'm going to be interested because I'm going to be working with these folks up there. I'm going to go up to the sports book. I'm going to have a salad today, salmon salad. Watch the Orioles. Do all that. But I'm going to ask. Could I bet odds that Lamar is going to be a Lion, a Jet? Can you even bet on Aaron Rodgers being a Jet? I don't even know what you can or can't
I'm
bet on.
sure you can. If you could dream it up, you can bet it.
Okay, fair enough. So here I'm gonna make you my betting guy today. All right. So right now you just gave me all of this. I'm sure they'll have it figured out. I'm sure it won't be Tyler. I'm sure they're gonna draft Stetson Bennett. What do you think's what's the best odds right now? Is the best odds that Lamar comes back and plays for $32 million with his tail between his legs? Is the best odds that he actually signs a 3-year, $148 million thing that they can all kumbaya it and say he got a lot of money, we got a good deal, he gets to hit the market in 3 years, we can't tag him? What like something that would look like conciliatory, right? Where they can do that. And then there's the other part of no, they're going to deal him. And then where are they going to deal him? And how does that work? I mean, there's all of these. And in my mind, if I'm Mr. Odds Maker, and I feel like I know a lot about this. I would have known more if I was at the owners' meetings the other day, right? Because I would have talked to a lot of people. But I am still fascinated that Mr. Blank didn't at least inquire in some way. And then say to the Ravens, I'll give you the Heinicke guy. You can have him. And so you'll have a quarterback.
But he
Like,
outlined why he didn't. He had no interest in Lamar Jackson. He said every game in the NFL is important. Lamar Jackson has missed 12 in the last 2 years.
easy thing to say.
He said it. He put it.
Irrefutable.
He put it out there, and it's not worth the guaranteed money that the young man seeks. So what I think they're gonna draft either Bennett in the third round or this kid Hooker from Tennessee in the second round if they can trade back, and they'll have a quarterback available just in case Lamar Jackson, sits out the season or comes in as lethargic, has a back injury, doesn't want to play, et cetera. But and they'll have a quarterback on their roster they'll be developing for sure. Also a guy that can come in and win some ball games for you. That's what I think.
You think he's undealable right now?
I do. I think maybe after the draft, where you're talking about draft picks for next season, will they deal him for first and a starting caliber player? There'll be interest there. Also, an injury to a starting quarterback in the NFL also changes the equation. I think they would like to move away from him, but I also like to think that I think, of course, they want maximum value in return, but they'll take less than what they would have taken, let's say, 30 or 60 days ago.
I agree with you. I don't think they care about the noise,
No.
right? At all. And my point on all of this is our owner doesn't speak to the fans anymore, right? And the coach, when he speaks, lies. And the general manager seeks to not speak much at all and seeks to speak by signing Nelson Aguilar and saying, that is what I'm doing.
But coaches lie, Nestor. They all speak coaches. You heard them speak coaches for decades now. That's what I call it.
That's really not true, man.
Coaches, like, man. It's fluff.
Brian Billick never lied to me on the record, off the record, on a mic, off the mic. Still to this day, Brian Billick's never lied to me. So, Gino Briaco,
But Brian also loved the microphone and the camera. Not many coaches love. He was the exception, not the rule. Right? I mean, most guys don't want
you.
Most guys are
more
Bill Belichick than Brian Billick. They don't want to be in front of a camera.
I think you can play the game and recruit the fans instead of playing the game and, pissing off the fans. I don't think that you need to be Bill Belichick. And I come from an age of they're trying to sell tickets. I mean, the Orioles are a great example of all of this hope, all of this promise. How many people are going to be there next week?
They don't listen to the fans, that's for sure. Neither organization listens to the fans.
Well, what would Coons Ford be like with that? What would WNST have ever been like if we're not
company. You know, we're Coons Ford, WNST, we're a service company. We are of service to people. And if I was running a baseball team or a football team, I'd still be a service company. But somewhere along the line, you know, when people are making money hand over fist, it changes their mindset, Duster. They don't think like you and I do. They're not normal. They're abnormal people.
Oh, there's no question about that.
I mean, they live in a different world that we live in. They're you talk about first world problems. They have, I don't even know what you call those things.
Yeah, they're not problems.
Yeah, do I want filet mignon eggs for breakfast or crab cakes and eggs for breakfast? I mean,
they're issues. They're not problems.
It's like, you know, oh, my crab cakes, my crab cakes Benedict were too cold this morning.
They're just decisions, not problems.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to, you know, make fun of the situation, but I don't wake up in the morning in my yacht having breakfast either.
Dennis, I've woken up hundreds of days at the Biltmore and the Breakers because of these people, right? For 18 years, I've been going to these places in the St. Regis out in the Four Seasons in Orlando. Like, this is where they have at Boca, the Boca Resort. I've been in these places where the Caesar salad's $24 and a cup of coffee's $9. Like,
I've been to the Breakers twice in 30 days. A hot dog was $26. A burger is $37. I never even heard of the Breakers until about a year ago. And for folks who've never heard of it, look it up. It's
palm trees.
Amazing. And the people there, you know, again, they're just
living a different life.
They're all plastic. Most of them are plastic. I mean, it's a whole different planet. It just is.
I agree wholeheartedly. And I think that that's a hard thing to push across. But I think in all of these opinions, mine, yours, Luke's, Robbie's first base, we all have opinions at all, and the internet and Dion and, you know, whoever you follow on Twitter. But the guy that's making the decision is on a yacht playing golf, doing whatever, drinking Miller Lite, you know, like, and it's his money. It's his decision. And we're not hearing anything really from him. But when we do, it'll be a thunderclap. And that's what we've allowed to happen as a fan base here. We brought the team. He got $600 million and he sent Sashi Brown and Chad Steele down there to pick the check up and take a picture in Annapolis. Like, there's the accountability of the voice of all of it is left upon John to answer to this poor kid tweeting poop emojis and being his own PR guy. And we're all trying to make sense of something here that feels like it's out of Slapshot sometimes, really.
Yeah. No. Well, that's the state of the Ravens these days, Nestor. We're up against the clock. I got to run. I appreciate your time as always. Like, what else you got going on besides your crab cake tour?
Go San Diego State. Crab cake tour next week on Wednesday and Friday. Opening day, new arena, Bruce Springsteen, the Eagles. Springtime. I'm excited. Baseball every day. These are the good days. It's good to be alive, Dennis Colatsos. You know that.
Great to be alive. With that, we'll take our next break here at 1570 AM. WNST will take a quick break and come back right after this.